I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's a riddle off the top today. How do you pitch seven innings of shutout baseball and not be the star of the game? You do it on the night the reigning MVP homers twice in the first two innings and ends up with four hits and five runs batted in. So it was Wednesday night at Fenway, as Eddie Rodriguez did win his 17th game of the year, but it was overshadowed by the explosive night from the man whose very initials are MLB, Mookie Lynn Betts. A game the Sox needed to have, and they got it all right. 6-2 the final, and we'll talk about it now here on Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh
Lewis. Tuesday, the Sox had struck out 12 times and were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Rick Porcello had taken the stage and basically shorted. So Tuesday was not a great night. Wednesday was. Long, but great. That's what she said. Josh Lewin with you. Michael Scott forever. 4 hours plus, a game that featured just 8 runs and no bottom of the ninth, but that's okay. It gave everyone time to memorize the 17 relievers the Sox are now employing. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? It actually reads like Johnny Cash lyrics instead. They've got Matt Barnes, Ryan Brazier, Colton Brewer, Andrew Cashner, Julie Chassin, Trevor Kelly, Travis Lakins, Mike Schworn, Josh Smith, Hector Velasquez, Marcus Walden, Ryan Weber, Brandon Workman, Darwinson Hernandez, Brian Johnson, Bobby Taylor, Josh Taylor. It's freaking exhausting. Where's Alfredo Aceves? Where's Rudy Cienez and Devin Hansack? Where's Matt Albers, Dan Wheeler, and Franklin Morales? All right, sorry. We'll get to it here. But man, to see 17 relievers parade out to that little bullpen, that was jarring on Wednesday night. Under 500 at home coming in. And the reason for the team's home woes is pretty straightforward. The starters have not been good at Fenway this year. You had the 6-run, 4-inning thing from Rick Porcello Tuesday, and that gave the starters a 5.16 ERA in home games. The Dodgers, comparatively, entered Wednesday with a home ERA exactly half that. 2.52, essentially. That's less than half. So the Red Sox, 10-20 in home games against teams with winning records. Their rotation and ERA of around 6 in those games. The good news is, after the Twins and Yankees leave town, 14 of the 18 last games on the schedule will be against losers, and the Red Sox very happily are done with Tampa Bay being at Fenway, because the Red Sox were somehow 1-8 against the Rays in Boston. Thankfully, when the A's came in back in May, the A's were on the shell of themselves, and the Red Sox actually swept that series. And somehow the Red Sox were 3-1 against the Yankees at home, just throwing that out there. So the Sox do have that favorable schedule at the end, the last two home series against two black and orange teams out of contention, the Giants and the Orioles, winnable road series after that in Texas and Toronto. But we always point to the poor starting pitching as the reason that the Red Sox will probably fail to get in. This is after the 108 wins last year and all of that. 5.03 ERA from the starters this year overall. Last year was 3.7, and that there is your difference. But for one night, Eduardo Rodriguez made everybody very happy when he took the mound. 7 innings, 5 hits. He did walk 4, but he struck out 8. He is now tied with Domingo Germán and Justin Verlander with 17 wins. 7 scoreless innings for the third time in his last 4 starts, 4-0 in that time, 1.03 ERA. And since the start of July, 12 starts for Eddie, 9-1, 2.52. He's already set career bests in games and starts, obviously, innings pitched, wins, and strikeouts. Dude's got a shot at 200 innings and 200 strikeouts. It's everything plus one that you wanted out of Rodriguez and didn't really show it in spring training. We were all very nervous in spring training, but now he's a cool customer, and he talked to the guys in the booth after the game.
Eddie, congratulations. That was a tremendous performance against the team, as we said, that lead the world in runs scored. You really attacked them, huh?
I mean, my changeup was working really great today. Elevates on fastball that was really good, so got to give credit to Baskey that I want to throw a couple pitches that I really want to throw it, and he said no, he shake it to me, he called the next one, and it was the right pitch, so I got to give that to Baskey too.
Eddie, 113 pitches, which is just one shy of your season high. How badly did you want that seventh inning?
I mean, that's the goal, you know what I mean, for every starting pitcher, go out there and throw six or seven innings, so you know you're out there 100 and something pitches, you know that's maybe your last guy, so you just want to get that out.
You know, Eddie, the way you've attacked left-handers, even here tonight, that two-seamer in, you know, pounding it in on guys, making it uncomfortable, seems to be opening up other things for you. How important has that pitch been for you against lefties?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, like in the past years, I was getting crushed by lefties and work with Dana in the bullpen every day, and we decided to start using that two-seam in, and it's just working great the last couple starts, so that's something that I got to give it to Dana, too.
Eddie, you realize you're not tied for the league lead in victories with Herman of the Yankees and Verlander of Houston?
I mean, that's something that everybody just told me and everything, but what I really want right now is give you the chance, the team, to make it to the postseason. I mean, we want to be out there. We're going to be there this year, and this is the best chance that I can give by myself.
Eddie, baseball has changed so much over the last decade. Now all these teams are power-laden, and certainly the Minnesota Twins have taken that to a new level this year. But what are the challenges for you to face a team that can hit the ball 1-9 out of the ballpark? And, you know, we're talking about the fact that you had a 4-0 lead early, but a lot of those times these days, that can evaporate quickly.
I mean, I know I've been facing a lot of most of the hitters, and Nelson Cruz, Cole, Crum. I've been facing them a lot, and I just make a plan with Baskin and Dana before the game, and we executed it pretty good. So we know, like, if I miss, you know right now, if you miss, the ball is out of the ballpark, especially with this kind of team. So I just tried to execute every pitch, and I really did. So that's something that I've been working the whole year on. So I execute every pitch that I throw.
Yeah, you talk about getting deep in the games and how important that is. I look at that first inning. I mean, you struck out the side. You did it on 13 pitches. I mean, there's no waste of pitches. There's no 0-2 going to 3-2. You continue to attack. Is that part of sort of maturing as a starter?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of trouble that I was having the past couple of years, the beginning of the season, too, that I've been getting too deep on counts and everything. So I just decided to execute the pitch and let it see what happened. I mean, if a basket call, fastball up and in, I just try to throw it right there and let's see what happened. I mean, if you execute the pitch, something good things is going to happen all the time.
Well, Eddie, congratulations. Keep it going.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys, and thanks to Eddie Rodriguez. 22 swings and misses in 7 innings, tied for a career best. 17 wins, 6 losses. A one-loss record we will revisit in about 5 minutes. But first, Mookie Betts was actually the man of the match with the 5-2-4-5 box score line. That's 4-for-5, couple of home runs, 5 runs batted in. Ties the season high in both the hits and runs batted in. 2 home runs or more for the third time this year, and 16 multi-home run games, second most ever by a Red Sox before turning 27. Jim Rice is the leader at 21. First leadoff hitter to homer on each of the first 2 pitches he faced in a game since Jimmy Rollins did it with the Phillies almost exactly 10 years ago. And yeah, 2 pitches and 2 homers, both over the monster in left. First Red Sox to homer in each of the first 2 innings of a game since Mookie Betts in August against Arizona in 2016. Go to July 1st. Mookie's hitting .331 OPS of above 1,000 in his last 55 games, still trending towards 145 runs to join Ted Williams as the only Red Sox ever to have that many. Top 4 hitters in the lineup, all of them 900 OPSs or better right now. Mookie's at 904, Devers 944, Bogart's 960, J.D. Martinez 970. Or we'll put it this way, 4 of the top 25 OPS totals in the majors are the first 4 hitters in the Boston lineup. They gained a half a game on Tampa Bay. They stayed even with Cleve. And Alex Cora talked about all of it when it was all said and done.
You go back to where he was in April. There were a few things we cleaned up with him, and he took off as far as preparation. He's been a lot better, more consistent, more into it. There's a lot of people that have worked you know, in between starts. And like I've been saying all along, he didn't have to be David or Chris or Rick or Nate, you know. Eduardo Rodriguez is a good pitcher, and he got good stuff. And we saw that last year. Just happened that when he was ready to take off, he got hurt in that play at first base. So when he came back, we were kind of like set for the playoffs, and that's why he wasn't part of the rotation. But we were very pleased with the way he was throwing the ball, and you know he's been great this year.
Do you find it kind of ironic that, you know, Erod was the guy that you always had to push in terms of length, and he's the guy that has consistently gone deep in ball games out of all your starters, even guys with more experience?
It's part of the progress, and we knew stuff-wise he was up there with the other guys. I do feel that, you know, fair or not, I was very hard on him in spring training, and letting him know that this is what we need from him. Potential is great. We know that. It's like, that's great, you know, but there's a lot of people that just stay with that and they don't take the next step. And he took the challenge. He made some adjustments, and now he's doing what he's doing. That's not an easy lineup. Pitching in Coors Field is not easy. He's been great at keeping it simple, too. There's not too much trying to nibble or trick people. It gets to a point in the game that he's just challenging people with the fastball up and that changeup down in the zone. So I'm glad that, you know, the hard work he put in the offseason and all the conversations with Dana and Banny and CB is paying off. Christian is doing an outstanding job with him. And, he's put in a great season.
With a person who has as an easy delivery as Eduardo has, how tough is it as a hitter when you're seeing that 95 coming in like that?
It has to be very tough to pick it up. I think with Nolan, who talked to Feblis about it, it's hard to pick up the ball, and he's 92, looks a lot harder. He's 95, does too, and then the changeup just plays off the fastball, and it's just hard to do. I think also the strides he's made against lefties early in the season, he wasn't able to get him out. Started in Seattle with Jay Bruce and D. Gordon, and throughout the season, you go to that Colorado game here at the end that we wanted him to go seven, and all the three lefties got on base, and now, you know, he's done an outstanding job against them, and I think it's just the stuff that he's showing, you know, commanding arm side fastballs and being able to expand into lefties and then expand out, it's tough to pick up.
How much you like watching Mookie when he's kind of aggressive or early in the count like he was tonight?
You look at his numbers, and I think when first pitch, he's hitting close to 400 and slugging a lot. It just is the nature of him. He's patient, and it's nothing, you know, I'm not against it, but I do feel that, you know, he can do this. From the get-go, set the tempo. It was good to see. I mean, that's a good pitcher over there. And he likes to get ahead, and that's what Barrios did the first pitch. Put him out, you know, hit him out of the ballpark. Christian, first pitch, hit a line drive the other way. There were some good swings early in counts. And I think lately we've been very patient. We get into some bad counts. We've been striking out a lot as a unit. And we usually don't do that. We're the other way around. We push him out of the zone. And today, that was good. That was good to see. But he set up the tempo.
All right, thanks to the manager. Big night for Eddie. Big night for Mookie, who's got such fast hands. Jerry Remy says probably faster than Nomar's, which is really saying something. And I've put this out there before. If he just tried to be someone like Edwin Encarnacion, you wonder how that would go, talking about Mookie. because the first 20 fly balls he hit to left field this year, that was basically March 28th to July 28th, 13 for 20, 11 home runs and two doubles. Two more home runs to left tonight. There's something to that. If he wants to keep pulling, I'd be all for that. Somewhere there's a Michael Scott line in there, too, but that's stupid now. 75 and 64 is the record now. 23 games to go. 17 and 6, and I really think they go forward. 16 and 7 or 15 and 8, they would need some crumble help. Anything like 14 and 9, they've gotten their shot. But 17 and 6, why does that sound familiar? Have you been paying attention? You know this one? Right. It is the record of Juan Eduardo Rodriguez. So if the whole team can just become Eddie for the next 3 weeks, we will see you in October. So let's figure this out. Six losses the last 3 weeks, that's two a week. So you can afford two against the Yankees this weekend, if indeed you beat Minnesota Thursday. Figure losing one against the Rays down there. Three other losses against the Phillies, Blue Jays, Giants, Rangers, and Orioles clumped together. So let's say you lose one in Philly. You sweep the Giants and Orioles at home. You lose one down in Texas, and you blow one horribly some other way. There's your other losses. So I'm putting it out there. If you don't like it, just send it right back. But I'm putting it out there because there is a 6.5% chance to make the playoffs, and that is certainly better than zero. The Thursday game, Martin Perez for Minnesota, 9-6, 489, though. He's been struggling a bit down the stretch. Nate Eovaldi, time to get a little extra octane in your tank there, son. He's been kind of pooping out in the fourth inning so far. That was the case against the Angels last time out. He had struck out 8 in 4 innings, but was starting to leak some oil. His whip is 1.57. Lost year so far for Nate, but he better find himself on Thursday night at Fenway. Once again, 6-2, the happy final. Mookie and Eddie, the two stars of the night. This is Josh Lewin. Appreciate you listening. We'll have another podcast for you after the Thursday Minnesota finale. For now, we bid you bye-bye.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.